World of Dominic Holland, starring Dominic Holland.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. It's nice that you came. Tonight's show is about fear. Everyone here is scared of something, aren't we? Yeah. Everyone's scared. I mean, if you meet someone who say they're not scared of something, then they are actually scared of admitting that they're scared of something. But it's not something to be embarrassed about, to be scared of something, okay? Because that keeps you alive. But there are some irrational fears. Do you know the number two phobia in Britain is arachnophobia? Isn't it odd, though, being scared of spiders? Because we live in a country, there's no spider indigenous to Britain that can do you any harm at all, right? And yet, we're scared of them. It must be really embarrassing when an Australian or a Brazilian comes to London. Yeah, I'm really scared of spiders, mate. Yeah, so am I. Yeah. Yeah, because back home, ask and kill you, what can yours do? Make webs. It's awful. You walk through them, you never know if the spider's on you or not. What about this, lads? How many lads have ever been in the situation where you're at home and your wife or your girlfriend says, Dom, there's a spider in the bath. That's all right, I don't want a bath. But the thing is, though, people keep bizarre pets. You get lads, right? Lads who keep dangerous insects always stun me. You get lads, I've got a black scorpion. Most dangerous insect in the world. I keep him in this glass box over here. Watch this, watch this. Tap, 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 he hates that. I'll do that every night. I'll get him from work. Tap, 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 he hates it. Drives him nuts. I love it. Because there must have been an occasion where that thing gets out, however it does it. Maybe you got burgled and broke for a laugh, let it out. Right? He comes home from work. Oh, God, it's gone. Somewhere in his flat is a killer insect. He's been annoying for years. He'd have to move. Do us a favour, darling. Pop upstairs, use the toilet, get in my side of the bed and put on my slippers. I went to the zoo the other day. Anyone been to Regent's Park Zoo? And I looked at it, I thought, Regent's Park Zoo, well, that's handy, we'll get off at Regent's Park Tube. That's handy, Regent's Park Zoo, Regent's Park Tube. Anyone ever done that walk? It's about 8 miles, folks. But what's fascinating about the zoo, so when I got into the zoo, I was really into all the animals straight away. First animal I came to was a llama. I said, look at that. It's a llama. Fascinating. I was reading about its history, its gestation, its diet, where it's from. But after about 15 minutes, all I wanted to see were things that could kill me. I was walking along going, all I want to see are lions, tigers and bears. Camels? No, can't kill me. Not interested. Thank you very much. I did a gig the other day for an animal charity, okay, and the charity was basically trying to repatriate animals back into the wild. And I thought that was a good cause. And I was thinking, that must be fantastic for dolphins, right? Because not only do the dolphins get their freedom again, but with all the tricks they've learned, they're going to get loads of shags, aren't they? Swimming through the Atlantic, okay, all the normal dolphins are just eating fish, and our lads are heading balls to each other. Yeah, bloody hell, where should I do that? I used to live in London. The biggest thing that we're scared of, though, folks, is pain. People want to avoid pain, but you have to think of the upsides in life, okay? The upside to pain is that you get sympathy, and I think we have to all agree that we all love to get sympathy. How many people here have ever been injured and not told anyone about it? You do the opposite, you tell everyone. Even people you just met. This is Dominic, how you doing, mate? I've got a sore finger, look at that. I'll be okay. Now don't worry about me, I'll be okay, thanks. How many people here have ever said, it looks a lot worse than it is? You never do that. You exaggerate your pain, because the more visual, like, your injury looks, the more sympathy you get. That's why I always felt robbed as a kid, because I don't bruise. I could get whacked on the leg, like, well, Matt, no bruises at all. They should use my genes in developing GM fruit. Thing is, you see, we all understand a little bit about medicine, so therefore, we don't have to have tangible evidence of an injury to understand that you could be in a lot of pain. Like Paul Gascoigne ripped all his ligaments in his knee, and we knew that was a very, very serious injury, right? And it ruined his career, as it turned out, right? But his leg looked okay. But because we all understand medicine, we thought, bad injury. But that can't have always been the way. Imagine the misunderstanding that must have taken place before medicine, like for caveman times.
Oh, here we see Neanderthal man eking out an existence in the most harsh of circumstances. The group await the return of the hunting party, Steve and Bernard. This particular group hasn't eaten for 4 days, and tensions are running high. Suddenly, the group becomes excited as the leader spots a figure in the forest clearing. The figure is that of Bernard, one of the hunting party.
Luca! Bernard come. He bring food.
As Bernard approaches the group, it becomes apparent that he has no animal carcass with him. Failure by a hunting member to bring food almost inevitably leads to that member's death. Bernard arrives and is about to be attacked when he dramatically appeals for mercy. He has appalling injuries. He shows the group his arm, or should I say, the place where his arm used to be, for it has been ripped out of his socket.
That looked terrible. You go by fire. Poor old Bernard. Steve, he bring food.
Some time later, Steve appears on the horizon. Again, excitement spreads to the group. But again, their hopes are dashed when they realize that Steve, too, has brought back no food. Steve arrives and faces the angry mob. He's pointing to his right leg and clutching the back of it. The leg, however, appears to be okay.
Where food?
Lads, I know what this looks like, but I've actually pulled my hamstring.
We eat Steve.
Relax on this, guys. I mean, you know, should be a bit more civilized.
And now people are much more safety conscious, aren't they? I mean, you know, seatbelts are compulsory. Airbags have come out, okay? You get stair gates to stop kids falling down the stairs at home, right? But they do go over the top sometimes. Surely the shatterproof ruler is a little bit over the top. Who ever needed a shatterproof ruler? Who ever remembered at school underlining something going, it's just shattered, look at that. Who ever remembers a teacher going, don't go in there, kids. A ruler's gone up. There's shard plastic everywhere. If you want to make school safer, blunt compass, surely, more important. Talking about another stupid gimmick. What about the rubber at school? That was ridiculous. I'm not talking about the normal rubber. I'm talking about the two-tone rubber. That went from being white and very functional and useful to grey rock-hard granite from hell. Because that bit of the rubber, that was actually designed to rub out ink. But it rubbed out a bit more than ink, didn't it? Rubbed out the page, didn't it? The thing you see, I think some pain needs to be dealt with in a macho way, right? That's where you get pain killers. They send in an army of killers to kill the bugs, right? Surely some bugs don't need to be killed. Some bugs could just be, like, persuaded to go. Instead of having, like, painkillers, right, I give you just, like, pain negotiators.
OK, guys, look, the game's up, OK? I mean, we don't want any trouble. We're just here to ask you to leave, OK? Yeah, come on, you've had your fun. Now it's time to go. We've created a safe passage for you. I'm sorry, but it's through the bow. That's the only way you're leaving, and it's not up for negotiation. Now, we would like you to leave quietly and with as little fuss as possible and as much as we can all at once. If you don't go, then officially in 4 hours from now, between you and me, it'll be way before then, he'll send down some mother of a painkiller, and let me tell you, it'll do exactly that. It'll kick the living...
Okay, let me tell you, we ain't going
quietly. And believe me, it's gonna steal. It's gonna be hot. Talking about hot folks, any Indian curry fans in? Anyone? I love it. I'm Catholic, actually, but I'm thinking of changing my religion to curry. I love Indian food. The greatest thing about Indian food is a very relaxed meal. You go out with your mates, some good friends, you're very relaxed, you get your curry, that's your food, you've ordered your food, that's your domain, no one can get involved in that curry, right, that's yours. You might share a naan bread, fair enough. But Chinese is altogether much more stressful for me. Chinese is altogether more sharey. Because they put it in the middle, you have to fight your corner. I hate that, because you can't relax, you have to eat your food and keep your eye on the fat lad. And that deceptive skinny person always packs it away. You know, the person who's skinny as a rail but really can chomp some through. You like your prawns, don't you? They're for all of us, you know. The thing with pain, though, okay, is there's a lot of credibility to being able to take pain. But with childbirth, which we all understand is a massively painful thing, okay, there's an unwritten thing amongst women about what pain relief was needed. And some women are really crude about it. Their bravery almost becomes more important than the child itself.
Have I mentioned that? He was nearly a 10-pounder.
Oh, what a big lad. Seems to be doing really well. You look great as well.
I had absolutely no pain relief whatsoever. Did I mention that? Apart from a pillow. And I squeezed a pillow from time to time.
Gosh, well done you.
I was determined not to. Did you have any pain relief?
Well, yes. I'm afraid I did in the end. It got a bit much for me.
Oh, well, don't be so hard on yourself. It doesn't matter. What did you have then?
A little girl, Chloe.
Yes, I know that. I meant the pain relief. What pain relief did you have?
Oh, an epidural.
An epidural? Really? Was she a big baby? I mean, you know, was she 10 pounds like mine?
Oh, gosh, no. She was just over 6 pounds.
Oh, what a little mite you were. Not like my no pain relief 10-pounder. I mean, I wouldn't worry about the fact that you had an epidural. I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, well, I don't think I could give birth to a 10-pounder. And you're obviously a lot bigger down there than I am.
Right, because there are women like that, okay? And I reckon that woman, 20 years' time at the kids' graduation, would still be banging on about it.
Well done, son. Proud of you. Oh, thanks, Dad.
God, I don't know what you're thanking him for, Gerald. I mean, it was me that had to give birth. Oh. You can probably guess by looking at him today that he was a big baby.
Oh, come on, Bunty, don't start.
Just under 11 pounds.
Oh, Mum.
Well, no wonder he got a 2-1. Look at the size of his head. Oh. And absolutely no pain relief whatsoever.
Some people, though, folks, are actually prepared to suffer pain for fashion, okay? I just do not understand facial piercings. I just don't understand it. It's like, it's not an English thing. It's an African and Indian thing. 50 years ago, no one in this country had their face pierced. Nothing at all, right? But with multiculturalism, cultures mix, it's caught on. But if you follow that to its logical conclusion, I'm looking forward to the first trendy bloke, right? To turn up to a pub in Camden with a big plate in his lip. Go to a restaurant, table for one, got my own plate. But I talked to you about the second biggest phobia. Do you know what the biggest phobia is in this country? Some of you here will have it. Most of you will have it. Public speaking. Anyone here scared of public speaking? Yes. Come on, speak up. Because it is terrifying, public speaking. I suffer from it, and I do this for a living. I actually do this for a living, folks. I didn't just wander on here. I think it was a crowd. It is terrifying, public speaking, okay? But it's a bizarre thing, because when you speak to someone individually, it doesn't occur to you to get nervous, is it? You just chat to someone. So why then do you get so terrified when there's people listening? I'll tell you why. It's because your brain lets you down deliberately. Your brain's fed up with the heart getting all the attention. How else can you explain the reactions you have? How many people here have ever been public speaking and your brain decides that all the moisture in your mouth could be better used elsewhere? Well, that's useful. Thanks very much indeed for that. You've learnt your speech. You're at work, okay? You've got to make a speech at work. You're terrified about it and you've learnt it off by heart. You know every single nuance. It can't go wrong. Why then, when you get up, does it all go pear-shaped? Your brain starts to play tricks with you.
Please welcome the sales manager for the South East, Dominic Holland.
Okay, let's have the mind go completely blank.
Thank you. Thank you again for Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Hold back that opening sentence for a little longer. And now let's give it to him in a slightly different form so the opening joke falls flat.
And that's why the figures are as important to us as they are to woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love this. How are you doing down there, Hark? Good. Okay. Let's start to mix up the first and last letters of the words. That's always good fun.
And of course, we had very good sandry jails.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, moisture in the mouth. Let's get out of there. Let's have half the moisture go to the forehead, the other half go to the armpits. Let's see if we can't get him to regret wearing that pale grey suit. Okay, let's shut down one lung.
And that's why the future of the company's sales to that region is dependent on marketing our products aggressively at this juncture and therefore staving off anything our competitors might do.
Okay, fidget muscles, you will go on my first whistle. Sweat glands, you will go on my second whistle. Bowels, you go when you want. I know you won't let me down.
I actually do get very nervous for gigs. I do a lot of warm-ups for television shows. And they're not easy jobs, they're quite hard. And I'll tell you a true story. I did the warm-up for Thursday Night Live. Anyone seen that show? It's on ITV. It's like one of these contentious debate shows live on telly. What they do is they invite like a studio audience who have diametrically opposite views on something, okay? You'll have over on this side of the studio, you'll have people who love animals, for example. They'll be vegans and vegetarians. And over here, there'll have people who want to eat pandas. And that's the sort of premise for the show, right? And I've turned up to do a warm-up, and I'm met by this editor. He's like, "Hi, Dominic, thanks for coming, nice of you to come down." Okay, Dominic, in the audience tonight, we've got victims of violent crime and their perpetrators, and we want you to warm them up. How do you think I might do that, mate? I'm on stage, folks, right? I am just dying, okay? I'm getting nothing. They're all staring at me. It's a nightmare, okay? And I'm starting to get a dry mouth, and I can't salivate. There's no water anywhere, okay? My mouth's getting drier and drier and drier. You know what actually happened in the end? My mouth got so dry, right? These muscles here in my cheek went into a spasm. I had a facial fit. I lost control of my face. This audience, right, was just staring at me, right? I've gone, right, from trying to make them laugh to actually scaring them. The producer is in his box going, "Is he on?" And somebody's going, "Yeah, he's on. He's doing some new stuff. He's doing some stuff I've not seen him do before. In fact, I've never seen a human do what he's doing before." They actually thought I was having a stroke. So they got Nicky Campbell down at the studio floor, and all I had to say was, "Please welcome Nicky Campbell." And all I could manage was, "Please welcome Nicky Campbell." And the audience was so relieved that I was going to be leaving, they burst out into spontaneous applause, right? And the producers thought, "Well, he's done a good warm-up, they love him." Because you try and get through life without looking like an arse. You want to look as cool as you can, and you want to try and avoid embarrassing situations. Okay, how many people have been in the terrible situation when you're in a pub with your mate and you're telling a story, you're holding court, everyone's listening to you, and you've got to deliver a funny? What about when you're halfway through the story and it dawns on you that the story's not worth telling? You can't back out. You can't say, "Sorry, that was crap. Shouldn't have started there." You have to continue, you embellish, you try and get all you can out of it, you deliver the punchline, nothing. And I guarantee you, one of your mates will go, "Guess you had to be there." What about when you're telling a story, and one of the characters in your story has got an accent, and you're not good at accents? You know you shouldn't attempt the accent, but there's a part of your brain going, "Just have a go." You start off quite accurately, but then you start to lose it. You know you're losing it. The guy's supposed to be from Wales. He's now from Bangladesh. That's why, folks, I admire the people who've got the guts to go on Countdown. I'd hate to go on that show. Because my brain's wrong. You know you've got to get the biggest word you can get. My brain's all wrong for that. As soon as my brain gets a three-letter word, it just gives up. Ha, that'll do you. Imagine if you're on that show, all your friends are watching. And your brain just blanked. You got bullaboom, bullaboom, boom. Dominic, what have you got?
Two.
I'm hoping the other guy's got one. They have to ask you your word. At. And the guy with the dictionary has been really patronising. How did you spell that? I'd love to have the composure to go on that show. Sit down there. You've got to get the biggest word you can get. Dominic, what have you got? Eight. Well done. Haven't had an eight for about 4 weeks. What's your word? A-T-E. That is a very risky joke to do, okay? Because you've got to get it. I reckon one night I'm going to do that and my entire crowd's going to go, no, mate, that's just three. I am feeling very relaxed tonight, though, because this afternoon I had a really, really massive poo. I mean, I don't want to be unnecessarily crude here, folks, but I'm not talking about an ordinary motion. I'm talking about one of those sort of once-in-a-blue-moon monsters. I'm talking about one of those things that you wonder how much it weighs. I always regret not weighing myself beforehand and after. You know the other time people should be weighed twice? You should be weighed on the way in and you should be weighed on the way out of one of those pick-your-own-fruit farms. People go in those fields for 8 hours. Don't talk to me. They get up there, okay, got pips and juice covering them. Get to the weigh-in. Just the one strawberry. That reminds me of a bizarre thing. When I was a kid at school, I used to try and bunk off school, okay, and I would pretend to have ailments. And it wouldn't matter what ailment I'd ever pretend to have. My mum would always be the same. Say, Mum, I've got a really, really bad headache, Mum. Terrible headache. Have you had a poo? Got a headache, Mum. What was surprising to me is that my mum was a nurse. I never understood how she held her job down. She'd be walking along in the ward. And, how are you? I've got a really bad ingrown toenail. Have you had a poo? You know the feeling when you want to go for a poo? You know, I quite like that. It's quite a nice feeling, isn't it? And what I like about the bowel is that the bowel is just so relaxed, so laid back. So if you get that feeling it's not convenient, you can just go, no, it's not convenient. And the bowel's like, okay, no problem, we'll come back to you. That's fantastic. In about half an hour's time, hi Dom, it's bowel again, mate. Yeah, a little bit busier down here than it was. It'd be good if you can go. Some of the lads are getting restless. One of the guys has been here since Wednesday. And you can just go, well, it's not convenient. I'm still in the interview. Okay, well, we'll come back to you. But the bowel can only take so much nonsense, okay? Because you will get to the point in the end that the bowel will go into involuntary offload mode. But you get lots of warnings for that, okay? But my point is that the bladder is so uptight, isn't it, the bladder? You try telling the bladder to go away. How many people have ever got up in the middle of the night dying for a poo? Like, you want to go to the toilet at night, and the bowel's like, no, leave him, he's asleep, he'll be all right. No, we'll wait till the morning, he's all right. Not the bladder, get him up now. Give him an upright, that'll get him up. See, the thing is, you see, we all court danger. I do bizarre things. I was in the car coming home from Bristol recently, and I was driving home on the M4, and even though it was raining really quite hard, I never put the wipers on continual. I put them on intermittent to see how long I can last. I'm driving around going, come on, wipe! Come on, I can't see a thing! Vroom, oh, thank God for that. Wouldn't that be fantastic if when that's broadcast, right, a bloke is in his car and it's raining and he's actually doing that and he's flicking through the channels and he catches me going, come on, wipe! Because the roads are dangerous, and that's where a lot of accidents can happen, okay? But I've got a thing where we can get around that, okay? Do you know that most accidents take place because of 17-year-old lads? You know what I'm saying? Lads. 17-year-old lads. What I think they should do is make it more difficult for them to pass. All
all right, mate. How you doing, me old son? I'm here for me test. Thought I'd get me licence once and for all. You know what I mean? Finally make it official.
Fail.
Just generally, really.
Nowadays, driving tests have got, they've got a written test. I think that's actually quite a good idea, because what they could do now, okay, to stop real taff lads passing, right, is make the written test really quite difficult.
You may turn over your papers now and choose one of the two questions.
Right, question one. Inertia and momentum are the physical properties that account for a car's speed. Discus.
There are dangerous jobs as well, aren't they? The most dangerous job I can think of is being a bomb disposal expert. Bomb disposal is bizarre. Do you think you can study that at university, bomb disposal? You know, joint honours with geography, so you can find it. And if you're studying bomb disposal, you couldn't have an ordinary student life, could you? You couldn't say things like, what lecture have we got in the morning? Detonators. Oh, I'm not going to have that. That is so boring, detonators. Anyway, there's no point in going to detonators. I've checked the past papers. It never comes up in the exams. Because students don't listen in lectures. But there's one way a teacher or a lecturer at the start of a course could get his kids to listen in bomb disposal, right? Is if before he comes into the lecture hall, he puts one arm behind his back and he hops in. And he goes, I never listened when I was a student. Look what happened to me. That's the thing, you see, folks. We all go through fear. We've all got pain. But no one has ever gone through anything more scary than a bloke when you're in bed with your wife and in the middle of the night, you get woken up. Dom, I heard something downstairs. You go and check. I heard nothing. You go. I mean, you heard it. You know what to look for. No, Tom, you go. You're a bloke. So? Well, if there's a fight, you'll be better to fight than me. No, I won't. I'm crapping myself. I've never been more scared in my life. Middle of the night, pitch black, actually looking for a burglar. All I've got is a shatterproof ruler. What am I going to do? Measure him?
The Small World of Dominic Holland was written and performed by Dominic Holland, with Sally Grace, Simon Greenell and Dave Lamb. Music was by Jim Howard, and the producer was Maria Esposito.